we were singing in that song, Jesus, remind me of an old song we used to sing years ago. And that is, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Hallelujah. The writer says it's like the fragrance after the rain. Amen. I don't know about you, but on a sunny day after that rain falls, you walk out and it just smells so fresh. Hallelujah. Amen. Kind of like when you hang those clothes on the clothesline, we don't do that anymore, do we? And that wind blows them dry, and you get them in the house, and it just smells so good. Smells so good. Yeah, we don't do that much anymore. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. I'm thankful for what we've heard thus far. What a powerful, powerful word that Pastor left us with about salt. Amen. He could have just went on with that. I'd been okay with it. I really would have. There's a lot there that we can glean from the Word of God. I was thinking, and it's good to see Pastor. It really is. It's good to see him. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, he's recovering fine. He shook my hand in the office, and I thought he was going to break my fingers. I told him he's doing really good. He's doing real good. He's getting his strength back for sure. I can tell you that firsthand. Hallelujah. I was thinking as the pastor was talking, and he was talking about salt, and he was talking about connecting with people, and I mean, that's just, it's wonderful. Sister Castro and I were blessed to baptize 5 ladies in the lovely name of Jesus Christ yesterday. Wonderful, wonderful time. Hallelujah. Amen. They changed their lives. You should have seen their faces, Brother Merchant. It was marvelous to watch what God was doing in those women's lives. Hallelujah. God can change your life. You believe that? Yes. Hallelujah. God can change your life. Hallelujah. And we're sitting here today as witnesses. Hallelujah. The Bible says, so great a cloud of witnesses. Amen. This, hallelujah. God can make changes in your life. As Pastor was talking, I'm going to be talking totally opposite of what he was bringing forth to us. It's going to be the same thing. It'll be okay, I think, Pastor. You can tug my jacket tail if you want to. But there was years ago, and I don't know, maybe you sitting here have done this. If you have, then you're going to date your age, okay? I've done it. Hallelujah. But Grandma used to have this set of cast iron skillets. Have you ever had, you probably still own them, don't you? Hallelujah. But it made the best cornbread in the world. Hallelujah. But there's something about cast iron skillets that you had to do when you first bought them, because if you didn't do them, you'd ruin them. You had to season them. Oh boy, there's somebody that has dated their age. You had to season those skillets. Hallelujah. And so what you did was is you washed that skillet, you made sure it was completely dry, and you heated that skillet up, you put it in the oven, you heat it up, you make sure you put that oil on there before you do it, and you stick it in the oven at 350 degrees for an hour. Amen. And you seasoned it, and that skillet then, boy, you could make eggs on it, whatever, and it'd come right off, and it looked just as good as new. But you still had to keep that up, too. Amen. You had to make sure you cleaned it really good. And I always would clean it, and then I'd put it on the oven at Grandma's house and heat it up a little more just to make sure it was completely dry. And then I'd take a little oil on a paper towel, and I'd wipe that cast iron skillet down and stick it back in the cupboard, and we were good for cornbread on another day. But there was this invention that came out that took that all away from the kitchen. It was in 1938, and an engineer by the name of Roy Pluckett, who was working with a product that was called, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I'm not going to give you its chemical name, but we like to call it Teflon. Amen. And so Roy was working with this product, and he was working under the guidance of DuPont, and they were making a seal that was resistant to corrosion because they were in the making of an atom bomb. And so this seal was not only corrosive resistance, but it was also coefficient to resistance of friction. thus making Teflon the wonderful thing in the world. DuPont took that knowledge, and they went ahead and they patented it and went on to use it in commercial cooking. They wouldn't give it to the public simply because of the liability, because after heating it for a while, if you didn't have great ventilation or if you overheated it or something, then it would let off a poisonous gas. So in the kitchen, that wouldn't be a good thing if you was cooking cornbread. Hallelujah. You may not have any more people coming by for cornbread. But it wasn't until a few years later that this French engineer took this Teflon and he started putting it on his fishing gear, Pastor. And the reason he was putting it on his fishing gear was to stop the tangles in his line. And it was his beautiful wife, Coletta, who says, "Put this stuff on my pans, honey." And he did. And thus we have Tefal. And everybody in the kitchen's got Tefal. Amen. I told you that to tell you something else. And we're going to pick up the scripture reading in John chapter 14, 30. God put this on my heart some time ago. And I've read this scripture, I don't know how many times. You all probably have too. And we kind of skip over some of the verbiage, and we really don't allow it to sink in. But here's what John says, and Jesus is talking here. "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you." Why? Because he said, I got to go to the Father, because if I don't go to the Father, I can't send the Comforter. And guess what the Comforter is? The Comforter is to teach us all things and bring into remembrance all things which Jesus has taught us. So Jesus is getting ready to leave here. "For the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me." He hath nothing in me. I want to take just a moment of time this afternoon to talk about, oh, I love that. You guys back there are awesome. "He hath nothing in me." Hallelujah. I'm going to take you to a very, very common passage of Scripture where I know all of us have been there several times, and I know those that are very much into parallel and gospel writers, you've done so, and you know what Mark, you know what Matthew and Luke all says about this passage of Scripture that Jesus went through and left us a great example for really fighting the enemy. Amen. And that's in Luke chapter 4. I like Luke's writing of this incident. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is written." It is written. And I tell you what, Brother Merchant, that's where we all got to get. It is written. It is written. Hallelujah. We're going to go on. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. But it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. And the devil, taking him unto a high mountain, sheweth unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And that's all he's got, is just a moment of time. With his pleasures, is just a moment of time. Amen. Hallelujah. And the devil said unto him, "All this power," and that word power is not dunamis either. Hallelujah. It's not the Acts chapter 2, verse 1 power that we received after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Hallelujah. It's not the same power. "All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it to, if thou wilt worship me, and shall be thine. All shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, I love this, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and said unto him, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. And it is written, for it is written, thou shalt give him. Boy, do you see how the devil just likes to use a portion of Scripture, doesn't he? Yeah, he knows the Scripture. Hallelujah. He knows the Scripture, but he likes to use it just to just kind of blind us a little. For it is written, thou shalt give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And what does Jesus say? Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil, when he ended, he left him for a season. I like what one interpretation says, one rendition says. He had shot all of his arrows, and he had nothing left in his quiver. Amen. Isn't that awesome? He shot everything he had, and he had no more arrows in his quiver. Pastor, I'd love to be able to stand that. Say, he, devil shot everything at me, and he had no arrows left in his quiver, and he had to leave me. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know. I've been there a couple of times, Brother Justin. I've shot every arrow I had in my quiver. And, and still the deer got away. Hallelujah. Saints, I brought that passage of Scripture to you to help you to understand why Jesus was able to say, he hath nothing in me. Now, the Bible tells us that we're not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Brother John tells us all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Let me tell you, that's exactly what the enemy did to Jesus. The lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. That's all he has that he can tempt us with. But you are overcomers, little children. That's what John says. Jesus said, I overcome the world. Be ye therefore overcomers. Hallelujah. In other words, don't let the devil have anything in you. That particular phrase, I love that phrase. Because simply what it means is he has nothing. He doesn't own me. He doesn't own me. The devil doesn't own me. Nothing can fasten to me. That's what that face means. He had nothing in me means he can't, nothing is going to stick to me. I've been seasoned. Hallelujah. I got that Teflon on me. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody needs to grab a hold of that, because tomorrow morning when you go to work, you're going to need that. Let that stuff not stick to you. Let it hit you and let it fly off. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light. He hath nothing in me. Nothing's going to stick to me today. There is no temptation that hath taken us, such as common to man. But God is faithful. And he will, with the temptation, make a way that you can escape it, that you can bear it. Oh, Brother David says it like this. He knows my frame. And he remembers I'm dust. It ain't going to stick to me. Brother Dallas, it ain't sticking to me. Hallelujah. I've been seasoned with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm not going to allow those temptations to stick to me. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors through him. Amen. Hallelujah. After we see this happening, and we wonder sometimes, you know, well, how many have ever been to a seminar or a conference, and boy, the facilitator gets up and he just gives you all of this information that is just so wonderful, And then he doesn't tell you how you're supposed to do it. You just walk away from there with a bag full of tools you don't even know how to use. Amen. So, or you get, and I had this happen to me, and I have a bad habit of doing this. So I bought this shop vac for my stock room so I don't have to stir dust. I can just use a shop vac. I bought this really nice shop vac. It's like a 30-gallon shop vac. It's one of those big industrial things you can roll around. It's got a handle on it. You can roll around. It's got all these attachments. And so I pull the instructions out, which I normally don't do, because I'm a man. I know how to do things like put things together. Women need instructions. Men don't, right? So I'm sorry about that, sisters. You're the ones that actually put it together. You don't have a bunch of parts and pieces left over. We put that in the junk drawer, don't we, men? Because we're going to need that someday. But I put this thing together, and it's crazy because it comes in all kinds of languages. It comes in Spanish, French, and this one came in Chinese also. So you got to look for the English version of it. And so I put this thing together, and it didn't even have the right directions that I needed. There was pieces and parts. I thought, boy, you know, normally you have an exploded view where A goes in here and you take this and you use a wrench for it. It gives you all that information. This didn't do it, so I had to blindly go in. I got it together. It works fine, too. But I said all that to say this, I don't want you to walk out of here today and say, okay, that was great. Brother Castro, and I'm not going to let that stick to me anymore and not know what to do so that it doesn't stick to you. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. And so what I want to do is this. How do we do it? How do we walk Monday through Tuesday? Because we come to church on Wednesday and we get that supercharge. And then Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and then we come to church on Sunday, and we get that supercharge. How do we do it? How do we manage to walk with God in a victorious fashion, okay, when we're not here as a congregational or corporate body? What's easy? It honestly is, if you know what your fundamental choice is. Look at your neighbor. What is your fundamental choice? What is our fundamental choice, folks? Okay? Jesus came to this world with a mission. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And you don't have to get too far in the Word of God to find out what his mission was. It was you. It was me. It's the scripture that says, for the joy that was set before him. Who was the joy? You. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured it. The shame of being crucified, our Lord Jesus Christ went through that. And I love what the Word of God says. Your sins, your transgressions, he blotted out the handwrit that was against us, nailing your sins to his cross. Hallelujah. So you don't have to get too far in the Word of God to understand what his primary choice was or what his fundamental choice was. If our fundamental choice is to love Jesus because he loved us first, everything that we do in life will support our fundamental choice. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you look will support your fundamental choice. Where you go will support your fundamental choice. When you raise your hands in worship, it's because you're supporting your fundamental choice. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to love him because he first loved me. Our fundamental choice defines our state of being. I'm going to say that again. Yours and my fundamental choice, it supports our state of being. What is our state of being? Well, I heard it just a little while ago. when we all get to heaven. I like that. What a wonderful time we're going to have, isn't it? We're going to walk on streets of gold. But the writer also says just to look up on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Hallelujah. I want to take I'm going to give you an example of what I think is one of the greatest fundamental choices of a man who, I got to say, he was in love with God. He was in love with Jesus. The Apostle Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. The Apostle Paul was a Jew of all Jews. He knew the tradition of the law. He knew the Torah, front, back. He knew it all. But the Apostle Paul said, I count this all as dung, that I may know him. I may win him. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10, the Apostle Paul talks to us. I'm going to go up a little bit more. I'm going to go verse 7, brothers. But the Apostle Paul, he says, but what things were gained to me, those things, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. The Apostle Paul's fundamental choice was to win Christ. I got to believe that, saints, if we walk out of these doors today, this afternoon, and if our fundamental choice is to win Christ, every decision we make is going to support it. It's not going to stick to you. When the problems and the stress of this world comes at us, it's not going to stick to you. You're not going to allow it to stick to you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And be found of him, and not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So the Apostle Paul says, I'm not only going to love him in the good times, boy, when I'm on the clouds and I'm in on the mountaintops, but I'm going to find him in the valleys too. In the times of suffering, I'm still going to love him. Hallelujah. In the good times, I'm going to grab a palm branch and I'm going to wave it unto the Lord. And in the bad times, I'm going to grab a willow branch and I'm still going to wave it before the Lord. Saints, I got to tell you something. If our relationship hinges on our emotions, then we got problems. Oh, but our relationship should be like Pastor said today. There is a huge difference between praise and worship. We praise him because of all the wonderful things he does, but we worship him because he's worthy to be worshiped. Because he is God who sits upon a throne. Hallelujah. I love that song, sis. Worthy. Being made conformable even unto his death. And if by any means I may obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Oh, I love this portion here. I follow after if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of. Jesus wants you just as much as you want him. He's running after you and you're running after him. Boy, guess what's going to happen when the two connect? Hallelujah. It ain't going to stick on me. I'm not going to let it stick on me. Hallelujah. I'm saying, God, coat me in Teflon. Coat me in the Word of God. Protect me, Jesus, with your Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And reaching forth, but he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting. My grandma used to say, stop beating that horse. It ain't going to come up. It's not going to get up. Leave it alone. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's the high calling? To be a saint of God. That's the high calling. You got to be a saint of God before you can qualify as a pastor. Hallelujah. You got to be a saint of God before you can qualify to be a missionary. Hey, that's right. Fundamental choices. Let's make Jesus the thing that we're looking for every day. Amen? The Apostle Paul also says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Moving down the scriptures there, the Apostle Paul also lets us know what Jesus did to have that mind set. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He became obedient. I'm talking about how do we allow ourselves not to let the world stick to us? How do we get there? We humble ourselves. We humble ourselves. It was the great man, John the Baptist, that said, I must decrease so that he can increase. And then it was Jesus that said, the least among you is greater than John the Baptist, and he was the greatest man born of woman. He became obedient, or better yet, he surrendered. Because that's what obedience certainly is surrendering. I'm going to tell all of you here today, in the sound of my voice, that's not easy. It's not easy to surrender. It's not. It takes work to surrender. The Bible says there, he became obedient. The word became means is it was a progression. It's not something that you just do overnight. Boy, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Get the Holy Ghost and every one of us are obedient and surrender everything. And boy, and pastor never has to deal with any situations. Why? Because everybody's obedient. And that's just not how we're made. But every day of our life, we get up and we do it better than we did the day before, saints. We progressively become better acquainted with him. Amen? He hath nothing in me. Nothing's going to stick to me. Nothing. Saints, let's all stand. I hope this word of God has blessed your heart. You know, there's things in our lives, things that we go through on a daily basis, and stresses that we face in life. Life brings stresses to us. And as a saint of God in 2019, let's make up in our minds, amen, that we're not going to allow things to stick to us. Don't let it cling to you, amen. Don't give the devil a foothold, hallelujah. But let's be conquerors, because that's what he called us to be. Amen. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors. That means we're just not a conqueror. We're more. More. That means we're abundantly, overwhelming. Hallelujah. A conqueror. You feel like a conqueror today? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I'm a conqueror. I'm a spiritual Morton Salt. Now they tell me if you want to catch a bird, put some salt on its tail. I've never tried that. Amen. But I have tried to trust Jesus. Amen. Try to trust him day by day. Thank you, Brother Castro. I think someone in history was called the Teflon Don. Nothing would ever stick to him. The blood of Jesus Christ is such a precious thing. Everything the devil tries to throw at you, it does not stick. Can't stick to the blood. Amen. Slips right off. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel an anointed presence of the Holy Ghost in this house. In this house. Amen. And in this building this morning. Let's lift our hands and let them begin. I know we worship a lot, but oh, he's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let the Spirit of God move upon you this morning.